Blessing. Stand strong. Well, let's get back where we were. We're going to talk about Legos. That's where we were. Boy, wasn't that good meal? That's a blessing. I heard Brother Merrick actually was the one that did the meat. Is that true, church? Man, I wish I could cook like that. I'm going to have to find out. I found out the outline for that message he's got on meat, so I figure that one out. Well, I'm going to dive where we were. We'll turn to a new verse here in just a little bit to get back on track. But we're doing an evaluation. Do we value our godly foundation? Which means, is there honor? Is there thankfulness? Do we invest in our godly foundation? Does it cost something? I didn't spend much time on it, but what do you do with your time on a grid? We talked about the grid of reinforcing concrete. And I want to refer back to that again later, but you know, well, how do you deal with your alone time? And then do we have the priority of letting the Lord build on our godly foundation? Except the Lord build the house. We need the foundation team. We need parents. We need pastor. We need our teachers. We need the fellowship to have that continued godly structure. You know, do you complain when you don't get your way? You may complain in a silent way too. Silence can mean disagreement or agreement, so be careful with silence. And then, is your life, and you may have missed a word, but I want to make sure you got this in here. Is your life a pile of good Lego pieces, good ones? When I was a kid, my brother and I, we used to build. The very first Lego set I had was this wrecker and a car. I've actually looked it up online. I think I still have all the pieces to it. But I took that car, that instruction, and kind of made it more of a muscle thing. And what we were doing was we were trying to build a car out of that same form, only thicker, and to where when it rammed, we just keep ramming them until, you know, the last one stands. That's what me and my brother. And so I found out that if you make it in that one layer, am I talking okay? Do you girls, do they have pink Legos? I don't know. Anyway, so I still have all my Legos. As a matter of fact, they're getting in my wife's way. But I'm waiting for my grandkids to get old enough, because right now they're into the Duplos, okay? We're still in Duplos, and I'll play with them a little bit, but one of these days we're going to get into the muscle Legos. I have the cool Lego. I even have my brother's old Legos. I gave them back a few of them, but I've still kept them. So I'm just waiting for that moment. But we would build them in that single layer, and man, I'm telling you, they'd maybe spread a little bit and just keep hitting, but they'd last longer like that. I don't know why I said all that, but I'm just borrowing from Nehemiah here. Let us rise up and build. You know, you've got all the pieces. Do you realize you've got the best pieces of most, I would say, nearly all of the young people, maybe even in the world, definitely in our culture. The best of. You have the most cool Lego piece. I'm talking about your Baptist heritage, what your parents are doing. There is no better. And your catalog of instructions, it's awesome. You know, that was a thing when I was a kid. I'd see it at the store. We didn't have internet. And so, I mean, I would see that book of all these new things that I could do with this mountain Legos. And you know, through the years, we would do a little something for Christmas and set it up. And we had a neat little manger scene that we made out of Legos. And it kind of, the boys would enhance. They'd put a little spider in the corner of the manger scene. And then what else did we do? The wagon. Seemed like it got some dragons in on it somewhere. Could have been dragons. I don't know. But anyway, rise up and build. Let this thing come together. Don't just say, oh, I got a real nice pile of Legos in my life. I got a real nice church I go to. Man, just what a blessing. I know some of you don't know how good you do have it. But let God, let that team put it together. It's not just about having all the pieces of this cool set. It's about putting that thing together. About following instructions. If I can refer back to a brain surgery that I once had, and I did. Did you not know? Did you know this? This was in 99. And a van fell on my head, got med flighted to a hospital, and had brain surgery the next day, then eye surgery 4 days after that. Without going into a lot of details, after I got out of the hospital, I think it was just 9 days later, 11 days later, I got out. And so I'm getting into the van, the same one that fell on my head. And I reached in and got out the Ford manual. And it said in there, to avoid bodily injury, do not place any part of your body under the vehicle while removing the spare. Well, I'm glad I can laugh about that now, because I talked to a lot of people that they didn't read the instruction book either, and their relative didn't make it. My wife was hoping for improvements after the brain surgery. The doctor even said there would be some behavioral changes, but unfortunately she didn't get that. But follow instructions. Is this too deep? I don't know how to do it any other way. You have the instructions. You have the pieces. Like Nehemiah said, I mean, the place was, Nehemiah's day, the place was full of rubbish. That's what the Bible says. Full of rubbish. We can talk about all the rubbish of our government and our land and how bad teenagers are, and 70%. You say 70% of Christians. I don't think 70% of those 70%. I think 100% of the 70% is probably not saved. Maybe. Something's not right. It's 70% or not. 70% of Christians are not falling by the ways. Christians are going to, very few. I mean, David fell, but he got right. I'm just saying, we hear those statistics and are like, well, that's those other people. It's closer to home than you think. But if we're saved, let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Stay departed. Now let's get to a scripture. We're just in continuation here. So 1 Corinthians. Well, we turn to several scriptures before I get to that text message. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at some scripture here. Remember, the foundational stones of the temple. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is who? Don't build on anything else. Anything else is sinking sand, right? Wise man builds his house on a rock. That's Jesus. Of course, we know about you can build on these things that last, or the things that's going to burn up. Every work's going to be made manifest, going to go through the fire, the judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the what? temple of God. Okay, we talk about temple in the Old Testament and the foundational stones and the teams that it took for each stone. And what are we? We are a temple. I didn't write this. Paul said to the church of Corinth there, you're the temple. The Spirit of God is in you. If any man what? Defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is what? Holy, which temple ye are. I think we need foundational stones before we can be this right kind of temple that's being described here. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. Any man seem to be wise, become a fool, and be wise. I'm going to move on to the next scripture. Look at chapter 6. Some of you knew I was going here. 1 Corinthians 6. What know ye not that your body is a what? Temple. That temple needs the foundational stones. Temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Everybody just look at your hand. Look at it. Don't look at, look at your hand. Is that your hand? I mean, I know technically it is. According to the scripture, whose hand is this? Your body is not your own. You do not, boys, do not have the right to reach over and okay? The temple. For you're bought with a price. What is that price? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Therefore, glorify God in your body. People say, well, it doesn't matter how you are on the outside. You know, it's all about the inside. I got a verse that says, glorify God in your what? Body, and in your what? Spirit. That's outside and inside. I know God sees the heart. I know the Bible study. God looketh on the heart. I can't see the heart. But God doesn't skip the outside. He sees the whole thing. He knows whether it's a pharisaical or if it's right or not. But I'm saying we are the temple. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts. Who's he saying that? To Pastor Timothy, the young pastor, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. What is this saying? Stay departed from iniquity. This is the key rebar to the foundation, the sure foundation. Build. Let us rise up. We're temple building. We are the temple. I didn't write this. We're the temple. And so, how many of you guys have done some bodybuilding in any form? Okay, even this much. Come on, raise your hand if you have a little bit. It's okay. Bodily exercise profit little. We all need a little help, you know. So the question is, how much effort have you done in temple building? Have you made the same? This is guys, okay? And we're coming to the girls too. Yeah, you're not out of this. You may be not bodybuilding, but you're doing something with the body. But anyway, but guys, okay, exercise. I understand that. I understand exercise thyself rather than godliness. I don't believe that our health needs to be a stumbling block. I'm for that. But what I'm saying is, have we in our flesh, in our loving of our own self, have we done more with self, with bodybuilding, than we have with temple building? It is time to make sure that the foundation is sure. You're not even close to being done building. You're in foundational mode. It is not going to be structure built unless the foundation remains stable. Now, let's go to... try to keep my place right there. 1 Timothy 2. Stay in the building now. Don't let your mind go yonder. 1 Timothy 2. Verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or what? Costly. Oh, there's that word again. Costly. Were those foundational stones costly? It took team. It took hours. It took work. It took sweat. It took maneuvering. They didn't have cranes. They didn't have hydraulics. They had to do all that by hand. It took a team of people and a lot of work, a lot of sweat and a lot of work and a lot of getting dirty to get that done. And this is talking about costly something. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. See, the array is to be good works. This is really the emphasis of this text. You thought I was going to talk about something else here, but just stay with me. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor you usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed in Eve. And let me just get the last verse here. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with, what's the last word? Sobriety. Which means, Greek word defined, soundness of mind. It means sanity. Has the idea of soberness. Scripturally, it's being God-controlled. Silence and sobriety. Did you see those words in there? Silence and sobriety. You know, I train my boys like this. I said, you know, and maybe it wasn't worded exactly like this, but yeah, probably was. You know, don't get interested in loud airheads. Did I say it too fast? Don't get interested in loud airheads. You say, that's kind of cruel. Hey, there's lots of girls out there who are not loud airheads, but it takes some foundational work. Girls that go gaga over good-looking guys are a bit short of sobriety, in my opinion. Like that? I think maybe even borderlining insanity. I'm looking at the definition from Strong's, man. It says sanity. Sobriety is sanity. But they go borderline insane. Are you seriously going over insane over how a guy looks? I mean, the ugly level might cause insanity, but good looks should not cause you to go nuts. Look, men, before, after. This is before, right here. This is before. Actually, no. This is somewhere between before and after. Are we sort of that midlife crisis area? Just got to admit it. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, it's a good thing that women are drawn by emotions and affection because men are gross. I do not get. I think every guy in here has got to agree with me on this. Men are gross. And if you don't agree with me, you're probably not going to be happy in one of these churches. Yeah. They're gross, man. I'm balding. You know, I don't really have a comb over. It's more of a comb around, you know. I mean, it's like somebody thinks I'm Jewish now. It's like I got a little thing I'm going up to the wall. You know, I don't have to I can clap the skin on the top of my head. Skin to skin there. Men are going to change, man. Don't go gaga. What are we saying here? There's things that we realize are so much more important than outside. I believe we shouldn't be a stumbling block, man. If you got a big white zit, at least pop it. You know, don't. A red spot's much better than a white one. I'm just be real, okay? Don't be a stumbling block. But I'm saying, it's about the inside. We need some scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 2. We need it, man. 1 Peter 2. Let me read a few verses here. You can catch up when I get there, or when you get there. 1 Peter 2, wherefore laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speaking. Now I'm preaching to adults right there. Everybody all right? Pastors, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be that ye have seen, that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively what? Stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Oh, our Lord's precious. Lively stones, ye are built up spiritual house and royal priesthood. We offer up spiritual sacrifice. You see how all this foundation stuff is tied to the temple? It's all there. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Who's that? That's Jesus. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You say, I'm confused about life. Hey, get on a sure foundation. Amen. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, that's the lost, comparative to the Gentile. The stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made of the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. That's what's why are you getting offended over these wonderful pieces in your life that are coming together? Honor it. Just honor it and be thankful for it. But these stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are what? Chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. We're people of God. You see that? Satan's not our father, and we're the people of God. One more scripture on this, and then we'll go to something else. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to wrap this. This is this morning's message, so you know how long the second one's going to be. Not really. You'll be home at midnight. I probably won't, but you will. Ephesians chapter 2. Now therefore, verse 19. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Ooh, we got it. We're just so blessed to be in the church that we're in. Look at verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I don't think I need to say much. That is just, that pulls it all together. Your family, your church, and this is a text about the church here, how we're blessed, but we are a holy temple individually, and as a church, we're this household of God. It's just so good, builded together. If you're not building right, guess what? When it starts shaking, if the foundations be destroyed, what can a righteous do? And things are going to shake. Things are going to shake you hard. Are we more concerned about the costly stones on the outside or the costly stones on the inside? I want you to look at Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. This is message 2. It's a lot shorter than the other one. I am being considerate. You said 2:45, didn't you? Oh, wow. 2:30? 2:30. Oh, that's still plenty. All right, go ahead and stand. Let's stand. That way you'll know we're starting message number 2. Turn around 3 times. No, we won't do that. Raise your hand if you're listening. Echoes from the past, yeah. I have to admit, though, that Calvary Baptist VBS was a lot quieter than Broken Arrow VBS. I'm just saying. Daniel chapter 1. verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The title of the message this afternoon is this: The Life Story That Includes No Sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of Daniel. There's not too many others we could even talk about like this, but we do have this example. And I pray, Lord, that it would give us structure. Whether we look at him as we are right now, as his youth or at his old age, he stayed faithful to you, praying 3 times a day, faithful. Lord, use this, please, to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. How does your life story go? So I'm just a kid. I'm not sure exactly why, but as a chaplain for the county, I do death announcements, which means, you know, there's those that do first responders to a situation. I'm kind of the last responder if it doesn't go well. And so I hear lots of stories. For some reason, it's been young people. A 14-year-old was hot riding a little bit on a motorcycle. The family's broken. A 12-year-old boy is an ATV college student. His sister's boyfriend was in there. He saw it happening, but he couldn't stop him in time. The college student couldn't stop him. It was another young man. I actually told that young friend, that he didn't make it. 12-year-old boy. Another 23-year-old drowned Greers Ferry Lake. A 19-year-old, this is the last one I dealt with. 19-year-old girl, 10 college students, riding with her boyfriend. She fell off, something happened, she snapped her neck. They didn't even know what was going on with her. Got her to the shore, and they thought it was seizures, but it was after effects of death is what she was doing. I never heard a mom scream so loud at the hospital till that one. The boyfriend was going into fetal position. He said, we had just moved in together. She trusted me. He was cussing like crazy. No hope. There was no hope in him at all. You know, we talk about those that cry with no hope. The mom later calmed and she goes, my daughter trusted the Lord and she got baptized. And she calmed down after that and we talked. And the life story that you have may not be as long as you think, but it can be good. You don't have to fall in decisions that you're going to have regrets over. Daniel. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Purposed. I like this verse from Psalms. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Purpose. You know, this rebar here is for structure. It's for reinforcement. And it's put in place before the concrete. Is the wet concrete is put into place there. And because we want it to set, you know, once you take the screed bar and you screed it off and you get the concrete exactly like it's supposed to be, you don't want to go tippy-toeing across it, you know, you don't want some to hit the form. You want it to set up like that. And we hear about things being set in their ways, but this is the time where you get set in His ways. You get set in His ways. And you see Daniel showing some structure here. showing a decision. Patterns begin to set in your youth. Now listen, if weights start setting in that concrete, if sin starts setting in, the only hope is the jackhammer of God's Word, and then what a mess that is. I mean, can people recover after a horrible foundation in their life? Yes, but God's Word's a hammer. Yes, it can, but it's going to take a lot of reconstruction to do that, and you don't have to go through that. You see, Satan has his own kind of rebar. His breeds rebellion and then rejection. All this sets in, but Satan's rebar is gold looking. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, but it's hollow. And so what happens is when the foundations begin to shake, then an earthquake of reaping what you've sown destroys your life because of Satan's lies. And what that earthquake does is far more than any Richter scale can measure. Daniel purposed. So who's on Daniel's team here? Parents? Do I need to go some background? You should, I think you know this. If you don't, maybe this is good information for you. He was captured. He watched his people be destroyed. No parents of these young men. No parents in the structure. Is there a pastor? I mean, is there a prophet? Is there anything? He's out in the world. I mean, he's in the idolatrous nation of Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. It is so wicked there. You think we hear about wickedness in America and transgender and all that stuff. This is Babylon. It was wicked there, but he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Did Daniel make it? Did he make it? Did he do well his whole life? And all he had was God. That's all you need. That's all the team's trying to do anyway, is say, keep God in here. Keep the Lord in here. This is the sure foundation. Keep that out of it. Put this into it. They reinforce concrete with fiber now. I mean, just little pieces of, who knows what I'm trying to talk about here. Yeah, you got a construction guy? Put that, what is the fiber? What is that stuff?
Fiberglass,
okay. Yeah, and you can get reinforcement that has all that stuff in it. It's good stuff too. But it needs, concrete needs reinforcement. There's so much truth about the foundation here, but he purposed in his heart. Listen, you don't, these things have to be, when I say purpose, I'm talking about purpose on purpose. Are we still here? Stay. Make sure. Oh, no, look at me. Do this. Okay? He purposed in his heart, but it's on purpose. We don't do right by accident. We don't do right by accident. Now, you are in a great setting. I mean, the foundation stones are coming out just as pretty as can be when you're in your setting, in your situation. But we are prone to wander, as the song says. We're prone to sin. We're not prone to do right. So right now you're riding the ride and you're doing right just because that's what you have been instructed to do. But are you doing it because you love the Lord? Daniel purposed. And look what happened. I want you to see some things that happened because he purposed. No parents, no pastor, no priest, no prophet. It's him and the Lord. So he's a young guy and he tells Nebuchadnezzar's dream. They're going to lose their heads. And he told the dream. A dream of which some of it has come to pass, but even some has yet to come to pass. Daniel, the young man, told this whole thing. Look at Daniel chapter 6. Now I realize we could talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego too. They also, I believe, as those four, I believe they all purposed in their heart. But let me just show you chapter 6 and verse 10. Of course, they tried to trap Daniel, catch him praying. This is Daniel in the lion's den story. You with me? I'm skipping. And when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went to his house, windows being opened his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What happens when it starts shaking? What happens when it starts shaking and you're in the world, you're working a job out there, you're doing something out there? It starts shaking. Do as you did aforetime. Just do as you did aforetime. The writing was signed. Now it's against the law for him to pray. Go into a new kind of jail ministry, right? I guess he's going to go into dealing with pets. You know, maybe he's going into dealing with lions. You know, going to the lion ministry, trying to be a blessing. I don't know what. I mean, who cares what he's doing? He is still doing as he did aforetime. So Daniel purposed, and Daniel prayed. And what I see is several things happen. Between him, the three young men, these two things provided Daniel with several things. In chapter 1, verse 9, we see favor. He got favor. I'm going to go through this slow. In 1:15, because he did right with his diet, God blessed him with health. And then he got knowledge, skill, understanding, insight in dreams. Look at wisdom. He was 10 times better than others in wisdom. And power, position, and wealth. Chapter 2, verse 48 and 49. Then he got miraculous help from the Lord. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got promoted. He became a president in chapter 2. He became a president. But he did as he did aforetime. Now look at chapter 9. Verse 2. Now he's on into King Darius now. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood. See, he got understanding. Why? Because he purposed and he prayed. I understood by thy books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. He reading the Bible. Did he have the New Testament back then? He reading Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face, and he's speaking now, just right to the page, God, of course, inspiring him. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer, supplications, with fasting, and sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant. And he's praising him. And he says in verse 5, we have sinned. It's the only place where there's any sin included in the life of Daniel. I don't know what he's confessing, but we don't see anything he did wrong in his whole testimony except that he's confessing. But who is he confessing? He's confessing the sins of his nation. As we pray, do we do things like that? God, forgive our nation. As our heart is, he got understanding, he got skill, and then now he's saying, we. And then in this same chapter, in verse 21, because he purposed and he prayed in verse 20, and while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin, it's the only time we see of anything he sinned is his own confession, but we don't see what he did. The sin of my people Israel, he said, while I was speaking, verse 21, even the man Gabriel, the angel, the archangel came and talked to this guy. I hear stuff in jail. It's like these folks, they like to tell their spiritual story about this encountering angels unaware. I mean, but they're behind bars for probably doing wicked things. I know innocent is proven guilty, I understand that, but it seems like I get a lot of stories about that. And it's kind of tricky to deal with those things. But I'm just like, man, how are you doing with your cussing? just try to help them get straight. Am I making any sense? Y'all stay with me. Okay, I'm going to lose you right there. Just stay with me. What I'm saying is, these guys I'm listening to in the jail, if they were as godly as Daniel, I might believe them. Right? I mean, angel did come to Daniel. And so we're thinking, I mean, that'll never happen to me. I mean, Daniel was a person just like us. And I realize God's wonderful big picture plan, but what Gabriel said that I'm come to do, look at verse 23, talk with me, and it said, "Oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee what? Skill. And understanding." Do you think you need some skill? You think you need some understanding? What was he doing? He was fasting. He was praying. He was confessing sins. But we're too good. Look, I got trophies when I was a kid for having the best Christian testimony. I wasn't saved yet. We're a little too big for our britches, or culottes, whatever you got there. All right. We need to humble ourselves. If Daniel can say, "I have sinned, we have sinned," what are we doing? Well, I'm good. Yeah, are you like that rich young ruler? I'm good. You know, it'd be nice to have a life story that contained no sinful testimony. There's not very many in the Bible. Joseph, pretty close to that. Of course, Jesus. But are we praying at the level of Daniel three times a day? I mean, sure, we could say I'm praying without ceasing. But I mean, he just stopped, opened the window, he praying. Studying the Word. I mean, he was studying Jeremiah. He's Daniel. Is there a possibility that we could obtain a testimony of having no sin in our life story? I'm talking about the right kind of testimony. So that's not even possible. Are you just trying to have regrets? To have the Lord build on your life's foundation that will maintain structure, we got to have purpose on purpose. Prayer, but you got to have this while you're young. Don't wait till you turn 18 and say, "Okay, I'm gonna start really getting on this." Let God put that rebar in place. Yeah, let him do that. Why do you think I got two here today? It's that grid. That grid is what keeps that together on the wire weld. It's all in squares. It's cross pieces, constant all the way through it. And at the corner, these are going to cross over. When I was building, you know, helping them lay that, he said, "No, you need to have it crossed like that, and then they'd put a little wire there, and they'd keep it all together. Otherwise, when the concrete comes, it's going to be like that." I'm just saying, take up thy cross and follow me. I need to make it a little better. Huh? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hard times are going to come. I didn't realize this was happening when I became chaplain. I mean, some neat things are going on. God's opening doors. I now am having mandated counseling sessions from the court. They're sending them to me. I'm on the third one now. And this one lady I was dealing with, and I went through the study. I just told them I'm going to do a Bible study with them, basic Bible truths, which I picked up from here. And just doing that, I said, it's faith-based. That's what they like to hear. It's faith-based. And I said, I'll do some anger management. It was supposed to be anger management counseling. I hadn't had training for that, but I said, I'll just add some anger management homework to this Bible study. Well, lesson number four came around. She said, "I'm not saved." Just bawling. She got saved. There was some abuse happening at home. She moved to another home, and she said, I've got to have my final counseling. And it's the one about fellowship, relationship, you know, the conduct. And got over and did it. And then the next day, the caseworker called me. She said, I'm from DHS. I know you have counseling coming through, coming through the courts, but we'd like to send some to you from the DHS. How much do you charge? I said, I don't charge anything. Well, that's great. When can we start? I'll try not to pile more than two on you at a time. So it's leading to recovery ministry, which I know y'all do hope here, and we're heading that way. So a lot of neat things, but I didn't realize about when I'm doing death announcements in my head. I knew we'd probably go to people's homes, you know, like they do in the military. Somebody lost a war, and you go and tell them, I have bad news, ma'am. But it seems like almost every time I'm called to the hospital, and it's to the same room, the same traumatic room where Matthew passed away. Now, I need to explain for a few younger folks who maybe don't, or maybe you're newer. I have five children. Our middle son went to be with the Lord January the 15th, 2010. Playing basketball, he collapsed. Breathing and heartbeat was very sporadic. We got him to the hospital, and they didn't bring him back. That same room is where I face people. The same bed that Matthew passed away on is where I'm standing dealing with people right now. Your life story. I know some of you have heard this before, but I felt like it would be right to do today. This is January the 29th, 2008. Just a little notepad. This is Matthew's notes from a sermon. Just like you're sitting there taking notes right now. This is what he was doing. And he was 13 years old when he took this down. We were at a mission conference in Conway, Arkansas. It was just a simple little thing the preacher was talking about, how we're challenged by pictures, missionaries show, challenged by songs, we're challenged by scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They were willing of themselves. They gave. Challenged by God. And then he circled a couple things here. Lay up treasure. Lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Costly. But then he wrote these three words. And you know, when you're taking sermon notes, you're saying we, and all the points are with we, but this one, it says I am willing. And you circle it. Now this is a treasure. You are writing a life story. Your own. He being dead, yet speaketh. Those three words will fit in any kind of meeting there is. I am willing. Are you willing for the parents, the pastor, the teachers, those that are going to church with you? Are you willing for that team to keep forming those costly foundational stones? Are we more concerned about the outside and how we look and how we appear? Yes, I'm not saying being a stumbling block. Paint a barn if it needs it. I'm with that. I understand that. But are we really appreciating and honoring and thankful for all that is going into our lives? So that's impossible to have a title like that. The life story that includes no sin. Why do you give up so easy? Thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin. Well, it's no use. We're sinners. We're saved, though. God forbid. Isn't that in the scripture? God forbid that we would give way for sin. Neither give place to the devil. I'm tired of hearing stories. Yeah, something happened in her family and they're just not serving the Lord like they did. No more of that. Stay on board. Daniel. Man. understanding, skill. But he was intense. I ate no pleasant bread. I fasted. I prayed. He was broken. He was repentant for his nation. And I'm thinking, things got bad. But Daniel purposed as a young man. No parents there. Have a life story that pleases the Lord. And so the last question is this. Are you willing?